Good evening. Hope you all are having a good week. And I guess it's the end of the week if you're watching this on Sunday. But yeah, so hopefully you've been able to watch the other programs. And I just want to start by thanking God and the universe for the beauty out there. And thank you all for coming with me on this path, this journey toward ascension and the higher realms. Yeah, so growing up in Virginia, I was blessed with parents that did believe in the New Age community. And also good friends. I had some good friends. I didn't have brothers or sisters, but these friends were like that. The brothers, I'm not so sure about sisters, but, I can't remember any sisters that I had. So after spending childhood and mostly in Virginia, I took off to Hawaii when I was 18 on a surf trip. And at that age, you never know if you're coming back. It feels so big. It's like, wow, maybe I'm never coming back. Silly to think that way, but that's what you do when you're a kid. And I had a mother that was busy congratulating me on my thoughts of never coming back. She's so crazy that she's like, sure, you're never coming back. She was always trying to get rid of me when I turned 18. And I don't think she enjoyed being a parent very much. But at least she studied the New Age or the East, you know. She's one of these artists, wild out there artists flying around in left field somewhere. But you got to be a little bit out there to survive in this culture if you want to be happy. You don't want to fall into the mainstream ideals in general. They're pretty bad. Mostly the ones about partying. Like, partying's going to really get it done for you. And also thinking that you're going to get somewhere by watching crappy sports all the time. When you're a kid, you can't help it because you got so much energy and you get addicted to this winning that's always going on television. And the winners are always so happy. But the problem is that this stuff doesn't hold up over time in this spiritual path, because in reality, these, like the football or something, these people are just beating the crap out of each other, and this is not, and then there's people cheering wildly about this, like it's actually going somewhere. It's not going anywhere. Your team is gonna lose. Also, like, it's gonna lose every year. It's a big failure, like, every single year. Your team is not gonna win the championship every, you know, not even remotely close to all the time. So it leads to this, it leads to a depressed situation. It's a sucking energy environment. Some people are just, you know, so into athletics. I am sort of one of those people, actually. I was good at sports. I had a chance to make a living off of surfing because I surfed so much growing up, and I was good. I was pretty good at it. And so I'm actually one of these people. I know what it's like to be sort of a sports junkie. But if you're going to pick sports, you know, try to pick the lightest ones and not get wrapped up in the violence. The violence is a bad idea. And also worrying a lot about whether your team wins or loses. This is you're going to be depressed thinking about your team's usually not going to win. Even if they win one season, they're going to be gone soon. It's not a relationship you want to be wrapped up in. So devote your time to more beautiful things. Gardening, beautiful places, improving things, trying to change things for the better for this planet. This planet is run by idiots. It's run by satanic monopoly forces that just want to control, and they don't want to let the good technology out. They try to stop it, and they're good at it. I mean, they're so powerful that they just threaten people or take them out or whatever the case may be. When the stuff tries to come out, it is getting somewhat easier because of various reasons. Just make sure that you try to pick things that you can see going somewhere. There's certain areas that don't, you're going to have a hard time, but, there's other things that are a little more tangible, like yourself. You can feel yourself going forward on the ascension path. I saw it right away as soon as I started doing things at this place. It was a pure place, but I've seen this exact same thing happen without me being there, because I was there for 10 years and I've been gone for 10 years. So, the same thing has happened with me not being there. It happened faster, I guess. Maybe not faster nowadays, because things happen so much now that spiritual events, that it's hard to say that they're really happening slower. But that's because I'm in a realm where there's a lot of interdimensional things happening. And before, I wasn't. I was in a very worldly realm. And so when I started this process at the school, things started happening fast. Big events, big spiritual things that had never happened to me. And, so it's kind of hard to quantify those two realities. But in my opinion, if a person performs karma yoga, which is what I was doing, it will happen very fast. And there are, I guess, two other types of paths that lead in this similar direction. And I'm not super familiar with the two other paths, although they do have to do with a person going outside of society and just being away from the world and being a surrendering to God type of thing, like these yogis do up in the mountains. They give up the world and they go out there and they surrender, and the big things happen. They also have good teachers, usually, the ones that go quickly. So this is a great thing. I do this to an extent, and it's nature is a great way to connect to the purity that's out there. So it's great. You know, that's a way to purify quickly, and purification is the goal in this process. It's the way to the higher realms. The reason these yogis have so many abilities is because of the purity and the connection to the natural world, the elements, the universe. They're outside of the mess that we've created here in the world. They're out in the wilderness. They're in the purity of nature. And when you purify yourself and you continue, you become a a more light being. It's just the way it is. You get lighter. The dimensions get, the veil gets thinner. So these dimensions that occupy these higher realms, they're very fast. Like you, they're much faster. Everything happens faster. So when you start, when you get faster and faster, well, everything, the bonds break down. And that, those bonds are what holds you in one place physically. That's, so when you break these bonds, the hold goes away and you can move around much easier. You become much lighter. Vishuddhananda, I think of him with his Tao Te Kriyas. And he also does this thing. There's some things that they're kind of dangerous that they do. They ingest a cloth actually into their stomach, and pull it back out to clean out their intestines. Just gives you an idea of how much they're worried about cleaning themselves. They're willing, of course, this isn't dangerous if it's taught properly. And I don't recommend doing this actually by yourself. It's too dangerous. If you've been taught how to do this, it's possible. But anyway, that the cleaning is a really big deal. And cleaning your intestines, getting your body pure, it makes everything much lighter. If your thoughts are lighter, and your body's on a higher, is mostly it's your thoughts. You can purify anything with your thoughts. My teacher was eating meat, and a lot of people say, no, you have to be vegetarian. No, you really don't. It's your thoughts. Your thoughts are way more relevant than what you're eating. She wasn't eating, she had to basically eat meat. She thought, I guess her health had reached a point where she got too weak from a vegetarian diet. I've seen that happen as well. You can feel pretty weak. And that's another debate because of, you know, if you believe that you can do something and then you're probably going to do it. But it's difficult with the food that we have because of the crazy nature of GMOs and, you know, what you find in Walmart and all these stores, these big stores, these big supermarkets. It's so much bad food. So you're always sort of grappling with all this stuff and then you've got these natural food places, if you're lucky enough to have them around, but they're very expensive. So if you don't have a lot of money, you kind of wrestle with all this. I do believe that trying to get healthier with the food situation is always a good idea. You always want to try to eat as healthy as you can. And you can probably go without, I know you can go without food. These guys do it up in the mountains. I think they wean themselves off of their old diet slowly. And they have good teachers that, you know, help them along the way. And I've recently found more and more of these breatharian people. Pretty convincing guys out there, and at least one lady. Sun gazing, there's different stuff for sure. There was a guy, Devraha Baba, and he was going without food and he was living off the sun, I believe, mostly. I think that was, yeah, he lived to be like 250 years old. His story was pretty well documented. So there's a lot of ways to go down this path. The most important that I've found is continuing to follow what you know works. If you find something that works, then as far as feeling better and feeling the ascension coming, because the path I was on, it definitely worked, and the teacher was very good at explaining this, and as a result, I, you know, acquired this information, this knowledge. And I should give credit to these books. I should give credit to BBS also, because the people running it there are very, very good. They have a very open stance. They're very much supportive of the New Age movement and this metaphysical stuff, the East, the Eastern teachings, the Indian, the yogis, and they totally support all that. So that's very rare. I give them a lot of credit for doing what they do. I don't think they're even making any money. They're doing it as a mostly a nonprofit situation. They support it with other stuff, other things they're involved in. So yeah, credit to them. You know, how if you can reach a large audience with a low amount of money, then you're, there's a lot of people that have a lot to offer, and they're not, it's not easy to be known or get the information out. You have to write books or become some sort of a speaker through some channel. And, a lot of people wouldn't do that. They wouldn't even bother. I wouldn't be doing this without them. Yeah, just sort of talking to me about it. People, there's a audience for this stuff that people would want to hear this. I already know a lot of people would want to hear it because they don't have the background in the New Age stuff, or especially the masters of the Far East. They don't know who they are. This, it gets blocked. It gets, there's a veil of secrecy blocking this information. And this veil mostly comes from an arrogance that the West is very, very smart. And there's only a few people from the East that are even worth thinking about or talking about. And if you start thinking about them, then, you know, you just get involved with one or something like this. This is ridiculous. There's so many people that are so much more enlightened than your average Western guru, preacher, whatever you want to call them. There's so many more. It's not even close. These mountain yogi masters, that there's so many of them, and they're on such high levels that it blows people's minds. They can't wrap their mind around it. They can't seem to gather the strength or wherewithal to put one foot in front of the other. It's amazing. There's scads of them up there. They're like, there's all that. So just think of, just try to imagine that there's a bunch of Christ, there's a bunch of Jesuses running around on this planet right now, and you don't know who the hell they are because of your stupid media joke of a country that you live in, and you actually think you know what's going on. This is what you should try to imagine. Well, guess what? This happens to be real. This is completely real. All you have to do is study one story. Just look up Maha Avatar's story from the early 1900s. Shows up as a flash of light on a hill. He's materialized himself as a yogi. This is what happens. Spends 10 years in this town over there. 10 years in the physical form. Before he leaves as a flash of light. People seeing this. Lots and lots of people seeing this coming and going. And while he was there, hundreds of thousands of people met him. There's pictures. There's pictures of him with, you know, a dozen people around him. photographs. This is not a joke. He was there, he was performing godlike miracles the entire time. That's just one. So, why isn't this story, think about it, why isn't this story well known? Well, guess what? People are afraid and they're brainwashed to believe that their community has to be right. This is a very egotistic world. We're taught that ego is the solution. Become very full of yourself about something or you're going to die. That's what's going to happen. You won't be able to work. And you're just going to die. You're going to shrivel up and die. There's not going to be any support for you. It's a crazy world, you know, whatever. You know, it's what can you say? You can only do so much to help people. Mostly it's about yourself. You can feel yourself getting higher and higher and going into these realms. And if you're fortunate enough to break free of the fear of being so different than most people, which is really a good percentage of the whole thing, because people will, let's face it, if you start flying around, going in and out of dimensions, you're not going to be anything like everybody else. They're going to either treat you as a god or a demon, or possibly just some sort of alien creature. This is not so easy in the West. Just think about it. Think about the trouble this might cause. People are thinking that they need to think about the next election or football or some war or maybe Hollywood. But where is the thoughts about this? You know, when it's so far outside of the box that people will just like freak out. It was a vision I saw. You know, something came to me in the middle of the night. It's like a, you know, some sort of alien adventure. So yeah, it's not going to be in the news unless it's like some big deal, or the whole thing gets destroyed. You know, the whole jungle we live in, the concrete jungle, it just gets you know, taken out one day. That is quite possible. It may need to happen for a good reset, for a good shift to take place, because the control is, you know, is pretty wild, and people are just lost in general. They don't know who to look to. And their options are you got four or five options here as far as the main groups, but it isn't going to be about these guys. And these masters, it should be first. And you know, you can only imagine how long it would possibly take for them to become the front and center when they're not even, when Hinduism is like way down the list of the main groups that are studied. I mean, even in the New Age movement, it's not like Hinduism is the first thing you think of. In fact, I'm not sure, you know, what that usually stands for. In my opinion, it stands for a lot to do with a variety of good things, but it isn't really about yogic masters. That isn't the first thing that comes to mind. If they do go down that road, they end up with the Yogananda story, normally. Or possibly some others, you know. Usually it's Yogananda if they go down the yoga path. He's considered the god of the Western yoga style, because he came over and And it became very popular. The book is well known. There, you know, if they're a serious student of India, they'll study a variety of other paths. They almost never study the big ones. That's not, it's almost like it's taboo to go down that road. Like, just thinking that you're not going to die is a taboo subject. And there is the scientific world that might talk about immortality through science. Now that might be considered all right because it's science, right? No, that's, I mean, it's all taboo, but I mean, even that, yeah, that people just don't believe that right now. There have supposedly been some unusual projects, science projects over the years that have been shelved that had to do with machines that actually could bring a person back. And of course, they were taken by the government and so forth. But yeah, there have been things over the years like that. But I've never been in one, and I might try if I saw one in front of me. Yeah, just step inside, right? Well, anyway, the big ticket things that people that turn things that turns it into a science, the immortality into a science, that's obviously bigger because anybody can do it. They don't need the government or the machine. Not that the government would give you such a machine. That's ridiculous. But they could control the characters that had those machines. But these yogis have this science, and this science is readily available. Goraknath, the philosophy of Goraknath, explains this in great detail. And this is the easiest path that I've seen. Not just Goraknath, because Goraknath doesn't show up that often in these stories. He does show up in the Pilot Baba story quite a bit. And the one that shows up most of the time is Mahavatar Babaji. He's been around for so long. He showed up for 10 years. And then there's all these masters from the Pilot Baba story. Pilot met so many of them that it's hard to keep track of them all. But it's so worth looking into because there are no story. There are so few stories like this. There's only two that I'm aware of where they meet scads of masters, and that would be Pilot and Vishuddhananda. And Vishuddhananda takes us to Gayanganj, also known as Shambhala, or anyway, there's four different names. I don't need to name them all. You can look them up. That story is the biggest story of this on the planet, bar none, because there's scads of them in there. In fact, it's hard to even keep track of all the stuff that's going on there. However, Pilot, see, I've studied Pilot a lot. I just found out about this Gayanganj stuff because I didn't know about Vishuddhananda. I didn't know his story until just recently. So it's a much newer process for me to digest this. But Pilot, I know. I have a very close connection to this story. And I'm going to have to wrap this up. It's been 30 minutes. Blessings. Merry Christmas. Hope it's a good one for you all. Look forward to talking to you afterwards. And enjoy.